Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
We will talk about all the political Olympics going on these days in this edition of The Week in Review. Our two guests will analyze the various issues in the news this week, score the political winners and losers, and you can decide if Ed Garvey or David Blaska gets your gold medal for their political commentary. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, August 3rd. We will talk about the U.S. Senate, congressional, and presidential competitions and other top stories in the news this week. And we will welcome your observations, too. What issue in the news this week matters most to you, or what would you like to hear our guests talk about? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So in the corner on my left is Ed Garvey. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And on my right is David Blaska. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Joy. Wearing the green and orange trunks, right?
if that's what you're...
In this corner.
So are you watching the Olympics, David?
Yeah, I was watching online the women's skeet shooting, and apparently the American won her fifth gold medal. They lock and load, I tell you, more quickly than anyone I've ever seen. It's pretty interesting. And then it makes a satisfying orange, purplish cloud when they hit. That's the only way you can see anything. Is you know make. Other than that, I've been looking at men's interpretive jump rope.
You have none. What about you, Ed?
Well, it has not exactly grabbed me this year, although I must say that watching those swimming relays has been pretty exciting.
And the beach volleyball, too.
That was good. That. And the gymnastics, how do you beat that? I mean, my goodness, I have never seen anything like the gymnastics. They're rising from the ground up. I mean, it was just incredible.
Well, I was just told by Bill Martins, my producer-director, that right now the U.S. leads the medal count 37-34 over China. Do we care about that, Ed?
I don't think so. I think once the Cold War came to an end and they sort of eliminated this business of where the Olympics were simply a contest between capitalism and communism, it's now much more aimed at the actual athletes themselves and how they perform. So I don't think we care whether China gets 38 or 37 medals, but so long as our uniforms are made in America, everything else will be all right.
Do you care, David?
No,
I don't. I guess I did back in the day, and you know, you always root for you know Liechtenstein or the Jamaican bobsled you know group or whatever. But no, I don't. But China, you know, it does you know signal China's arrival on the stage. I can't remember back in you know the good old days that I think Ed and I think about that China. You know, it was always East Germany, it seemed like, you know, wasn't it? You know, and the East German women were stronger than the men, so I don't know how that worked. But.
Well, we'll move on to other issues, but, you know, there has been some stories in the news this week, a lot of people griping about NBC's coverage and the fact that if you don't subscribe to cable, you can't watch online, and upset that NBC is editing stuff out of their primetime special. Any gripes from either of you?
Boy, this is news to me. Well, no, I'm outraged.
You'd really have to be a serious watcher of the Olympics to make any substantive comments about NBC's coverage. It seems to me they're on the air all the time. But maybe that's not the case.
You know, we talked last week during last week's Week in Review about Mitt Romney's comments about how he wasn't so sure London was ready for the Olympics. And that, of course, upset a number of Brits. Then after the opening ceremony, he went to Israel, he went to Poland, and apparently some other gaffes made the news. How do you rate Romney's overseas trip in terms of a potential head of state? Did he do a good job, David?
Well, I think he, you know, just think of the frequent flyer miles he racked up. I think he did a good job. He had a he had a sit down with Lech Walesa. You know, I mean, that's valuable. I mean, when you got John Nichols backpedaling saying it doesn't mean anything, Lech Walesa's closet, you know, Tea Party, you know, guy, which he may be.
Lech almost endorsed him.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, and so did Benjamin Netanyahu of of Israel. In fact, in one of the so-called gaffes, you know, Michael Kinsley's famous statement is a gaffe is when a politician inadvertently tells the truth. You know, and he made the point that Israel had a very high GDP, the highest, one of the highest in the Middle East, outside of places like Qatar and Kuwait. As compared with Palestine, well, that was considered a gaffe. But the fact of the matter is, there's a different culture. There's a culture of life. There's a culture of death, and that makes a difference in how your people prosper. So, Mitt Romney's been criticized for being bland. He's speaking truth to power in a way.
All right. What's your rating of his trip?
Well, he's not ready for prime time. That's for sure. I mean, I have never seen anybody make as many mistakes as Romney for a presidential candidacy. Unbelievable. You go over to insult the British, and they do a program supporting their national health care program, and Romney doesn't get it. Then he goes to Israel and says to the Israelis, gee, you're only spending 8% of your GDP on health care. We're spending 18%. What could we do? I mean, somebody might say, well, perhaps you could pass Obamacare and make sure that it's available for everyone. But really, Romney is so pathetically inept. And this idea that he's not going to show us his income tax is going to kill him at the end.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this. Why should he release more of his income tax returns, David?
Well, only because the baying crowd wants that, and it's really like the 2-year-old. He wants the thing that you won't give him, and he wants it very badly. And after a while, he's forgotten why he wants it. The guy's a millionaire. Unless he's in the white slave trade. I mean, I don't remember anyone asking JFK. And I'm just about old enough to remember him. I was in high school, where his dad got his money. I think we know he was running booze. he was manipulating the stock market, and he was getting on with actresses. But we have a different culture apparently, and it's part of the Obama team's campaign to criminalize wealth and success.
Oh, come on. I mean, this is so silly. I mean, if you look at it, Romney's father exposed all of his income tax returns. John Kerry did. In fact, Romney apparently did with McCain in the whole process of looking for a vice president. He's either hiding something or there's something in there that's going to make him look very bad. It just doesn't make any sense for him to withhold the tax returns. Then this story is out there, perhaps he paid no taxes at all for the past 10 years. Well, maybe if that's true, that's something that the American people have a right to see. If you look at his tax plan, I would like to see how it would impact on his multimillion-dollar portfolio. But the thing I like best about Romney is the fact that he has an elevator for his cars. puts him down, brings him up to the same level. I think this trip was just pathetic. For him to say to the, we're looking at the Palestinians and the Israelis, and it's just a cultural problem that the Israelis have a different culture than the Palestinians, without even a nod toward the fact of occupation or the problems that are faced by the Palestinians. So, I mean, the guy is simply not ready for prime time. He's not ready for the presidency, and I think that he's going to lose badly.
Well, just as a little follow-up on that, at least one thing he didn't do, let's talk about the dog that didn't bark. He didn't bow to a single foreign leader.
Oh,
that
wow.
Alone is a refreshing change of pace. Secondly, there's a reason why the Palestinians are occupied, and it's because they keep lobbing bombs at Israeli schools and synagogues. If they would stop doing that and get away from the culture of death and embrace... Let's a little bit westernized a little bit, yeah. I think
are you his foreign policy advisor? You're starting to sound like him.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
We also wanted to talk about taxes and releasing tax forms, an issue that's also coming up in the U.S. Senate race. Democrats, the Wisconsin Democratic Party, is asking the Republican Senate candidates to release their tax returns. Eric Hovde is the only one, I think, that said he was going to do that before the August primary. He says, though, just 2 years' worth. Tammy Baldwin says, hey, here's 10 years of mine. Eric Hovde needs to release 10 years' worth, too?
I think so. I mean, when I ran for the Senate, it was just a given that you were going to make your tax returns available to the media. And I think that the people expect that of their candidates. I think they certainly do in Wisconsin. And I think if the candidates do not show the people, you know, how much money they have, how they what is the range of taxation, they're not going to do well.
David?
Well, in regard to state taxes, you can get that information. You can get the dollar amount. You don't get any details to how it was earned and whatnot. You don't get that kind of transparency. I believe in transparency, and if I was a candidate, I'd put it out. I would.
Yeah.
I don't know if 10 years is enough. I mean, that's, you know, you know that someone's going to say, ah, what are you hiding what, in year 12? You know, but I put some out, and he's putting two out. I do, though, think, you know, we're having the wrong debate. You know, not are you successful? I mean, if he presumably, especially these high earners, they do get audited, and he hasn't been indicted. I mean, there's this suspicion. I say that because there's suspicion of criminality, and we've had the Obama team use the word felon in regard to Romney, which is just abhorrent. It really is. I mean,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I do. Well, that makes one of us.
An Obama spokesperson said that Romney could very well have committed a felony
because of the SEC filing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, you're throwing that out there, and you're calling your opponent a felon.
Well, then based you just release your taxes.
Based on you're guilty until proven innocent. I mean,
Let's take a call. Jim in Dykesville is with us. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I'm just a little concerned about the tax return issue. Probably would be a good idea for him to turn it out, because one thing that Harry Reid has said is that by just the partial returns that have been turned in, that they've already discovered these tax loopholes and things that are, you know, Romney's hiding money in the Cayman Islands and Swiss bank accounts and that sort of thing. Now, the problem there is that if that information's already out there, apparently he's doing nothing illegal, because, you know, they've already discovered that much, and there's nothing illegal about any of it. So the thing that I think that would be really helpful is if Harry Reid would follow his own advice and release his returns, but he won't. He won't do that. And I think the most important thing here is that Harry Reid is just making allegations totally unsubstantiated and totally unsourced. And the news media is just running with the story as if it's gospel. They're not doing their job. They're a disgrace.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. So, I don't. Mitt Romney has said, "Ed, here are 2 years' worth.
Not really, just partial.
And, but he's also said, I've followed the law.
The question was asked: in any year, have you paid less than the percentage that normal taxpayers pay?" And he says, "Well, I'll get back to you on that. I'll take a look." Won't do it now. I mean, the fact is, he will not answer questions from reporters. As far as the caller is concerned, you know, he thinks that they're calling him a criminal. Actually, all they're saying is, release those returns. How much money do you have in the Cayman Islands? How much money do you have in Swiss bank accounts? How much taxes have you paid? Did you make all that money because you didn't pay any taxes? Mm-hmm. He's hiding something, and he's just not going to get away with it.
Well, when tax equity is such a big issue in the presidential race, David, shouldn't he say, here we go,
I guess it's a big issue if you say it is. And obviously, the Obama administration wants to make that the issue, and not the fact that, you know, I guess we're going to get into this later, but we've had the longest sustained unemployment rate over 8% since the Great Depression. When you get that kind of economic failure,
well, that's a big issue too.
That is a big issue too. And when you get that kind of issue, you want to divert attention. You want to say that the problem isn't my stewardship
can't
of the economy.
Can't we talk about both of them?
That's right. You can. But I'm saying here's the purpose of it. You're going micro on one man and because the economy has failed. The economy is terrible. Ed, you would not.
The July figures look pretty good. Everybody's, sort of. I'm sure you're disappointed. Yeah. But
I'm not disappointed. There's an uptick. There's also an uptick in unemployment rate. We both know why that happens.
But Romney has not given us a plan for how we're going to get out of any financial problems. He just says, I'm going to create jobs. He sounds like Governor Walker. I'm going to create a million jobs. Well, where are you going to start? And how are you going to do it?
We'll talk more about the economy in just a bit. Have a couple of other. Items in politics that we wanted to address first, including the mudslinging that is going on in the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, at least according to candidate Eric Hovde. Here's a excerpt from one of his new ads.
What do Kerr politicians do? They sling mud. Mark Newman and Tommy Thompson are slinging mud to distract from their own weakness.
So anyway, Eric Hovde is upset that they're looking at his voting record and calling him a carpetbagger and some other things. Is this even Governor Walker is weighing in on the race, saying that he wants to be a referee here and he's about ready to throw a flag down. A lot of mudslinging going on in that race, David. What do you think?
There is, and especially I think from the Club for Growth, which is. Jim DeMint's group, they've weighed in. And on behalf of Mark Newman, who's picking up, I tell you, going negative, I've always said this, unapologetically, it works. If you're not going to speak ill of your opponent, you don't expect him to. If someone's going to have to do that. I do think we have a little bit of a circular firing squad going on here, and I think that's what Governor Walker's talking about. And the fact is that I think it was the Rasmussen poll, which is a Republican-leaning poll, basically says all these guys lose to Tammy Baldwin, partly because of that. Also, though, partly because they're concentrating fire on the Republican side. They haven't stripped the bark off of Tammy Baldwin yet, which they, to use some famous terminology, which they will after August, 14th.
All right. So how do you
which
see
is the primary,
one,
by the weird day for a primary.
Well, obviously, as a Democrat, it's kind of fun to watch them throwing mud at each other. And for Tommy to be complaining about Hovde's money when he's always had so much more money than his opponents running for governor is really almost laughable. Tommy doesn't want his taxes released either because he's made a fortune working for the law firms that represent the big pharma and so on and so forth. So he doesn't want people to know where he got his money. Hovde doesn't really want to get into the details of his tax returns. And Newman, I mean, it's just he's in another world in terms of his policies as far as I can tell. I don't know. I think he's also a millionaire. I think four out of the five are millionaires. And that's kind of what's happened.
We should probably note that Jeff Fitzgerald did say that he would release tax returns if he wins the primary.
Yeah, and if he earns enough money to pay taxes, he's the one who's not the millionaire. I think there's only four, though, Ed, right?
Four. Maybe four, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought maybe I may have missed one there.
There's also some mudslinging, or at least negative advertising, going on in the 2nd District Congressional race in the Democratic primary.
Now it's my turn to gloat.
I don't think we want to talk about that. Let's talk about the Olympics.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned a certain fest that's coming up yet.
But Bob Fest?
When is that, by the
way? Well, September 15th. I'm glad. I think Blasky's going to come this year.
I've been there in the
Bill
past.
McKibben will be here, which will be wonderful.
It'll heat the place up, right?
There we go. Well, we'll talk a little more about that, too. But let's talk briefly about the race, the Democratic primary race between state representatives Mark Pocan and Kelda Royce. Kelda Royce has issued a couple of campaign ads that were hitting Pocan for a couple of his votes, including one where she says he caved and he supported tax breaks to corporations that Governor Walker wanted. And this week, Pocan responded with an ad of his own.
Character assassination. We expect it from Karl Rove, not from Kelda Royce.
So is Kelda Royce acting like Karl Rove, Ed?
No, but the fact is that I think she's taken a gamble and it's not going to pay off because Democrats don't like that sort of campaign. Mark Pocan is a hard person to condemn as being too close to the governor. I mean, Mark is a very progressive member of the legislature and always has been. So I don't think it's working.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's what you do. I call it throwing long. I mean, when you're behind, and Mark Pocan had a supposedly 29-point lead on Kelda Hill and Royce, and so that's what you do when you're behind. You've got to, you know, strip the bark off the leader and hope. That's why I think the Republicans are doing it, by the way, in the primary, especially because they realize that that in the Senate, because they realize that for them, this is the general election. One of them will be the next senator. One of these people.
Next U.S. representative, yeah.
And now I'm talking about Pocan and Kelda Roy's race. One of those people will be the congressman, probably. I mean, I like Chad Lee, but one of those will probably be elected. So this is the marbles right here. And that's what you do when you're behind. By the way, that ad that you mentioned from Mark Pocan, talk about going negative. That's a very, very negative ad to throw out Karl Rove in the 2nd District in the Madison. But that's really negative. And plus, they have this suspicious-looking blue-tinted picture of Roy's, which has been compared to Leah Harvey Oswald. I mean, that's been in the blogosphere. And they had side by side. Yeah, I can see the resemblance. It's all this imputation here. It's called going negative.
Well, it's not going to help. That's for sure.
By the way, we will be talking with both candidates, Democratic candidates for Congress, on Monday. We will talk with Kelda Roy's Monday at 7 o'clock, and Mark Pocan is scheduled to be with us Monday at 7:30. So we will hear from both them as we start a series of candidate forums. We'll be talking with the candidates running for Congress in the primary on the Joy Cardine Show in our 7 o'clock hour all week next week, or most of the days next week. And Ben Marins will be talking with all of the candidates running in the primary for U.S. Senate. It sounded like you think Mark Pocan's going to win the primary, Ed.
I think so.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to win the primary for U.S. Senate, David?
That's a tougher question. I think Tommy Thompson will and should.
All right. Well, we will also be hearing from Tommy Thompson, I believe, tonight on Wisconsin Public Television. Let me check here. Yes, Tommy Thompson will be on Here and Now on Wisconsin Public Television at 7:30 tonight. So all that stuff coming up on Wisconsin Public Television and Radio. Well, we have lots more to talk about during this edition of the Week in Review. We are talking with David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor, and his Blaska Bring It blog can be found at inbusinesswisconsin.com. Ed Garvey is also with us, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil & Associates and the publisher of FightingBob.com. If you'd like to join us, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins, and after 4, it's your views on the news. You can call in to talk about what you think is the week's most important news story during your views on the news every Friday afternoon after 4. Every Friday morning after 8, we welcome in 2 guests from different political viewpoints to talk about the top political news stories of the week in our Friday Week in Review. Today we are talking with Ed Garvey and David Blaska. And this morning, the new jobs report came out. U.S. employers added 163,000 jobs in July, a hopeful sign after 3 months of sluggish hiring. Says here, the Labor Department says the unemployment rate rose 8.3% from 8.2% in June. July's hiring was the best since February. But what do you think, David Blaska? Do you think the economy is turning around here?
We might be shaking off the effects of stimulus.
Can I see tears welling up?
No. I tell you what, when Bill Clinton was president, how could people stand Bill Clinton? I said, have you looked at the S&P 500 lately? Have you looked at what your retirement account's doing? Have you looked at the economy? That's how people could say Bill Clinton, they like Bill Clinton. And you know, he had all, you know, those problems with bimbo eruptions. I said, people don't care about that. So everybody wants to see the economy do well.
Except Eric Cantor and Boehner.
Well, because what? Because they don't hire more auditors or for the.
Well, they're opposed to any jobs program that the administration puts forward.
And I'm just saying we're just getting over those. I mean, look at this. I mean, apparently it's working, right, Ed? By your logic,
starting to work.
Yeah, apparently the Eric Cantor and John Boehner's resistance to continued deficit spending, continued make job programs.
Their whole program has been: we're going to defeat Obama. Everything that comes up before the Congress is. Will this help or hurt Obama? If it helps him, defeat it. If it hurts him, go ahead and pass it.
We want stimulus, you know, version 3, stimulus light. I mean, that kind of has been proven not to work.
I think you should switch party and just denounce the Republicans.
Well, Ed, is the economy, though, is it really?
We have a long way to go. But at least some of the things are turning around a bit. You start to see the automotive industry, for example, is doing very well. And now the jobs report is a good report. It is not the end of the game because we have to do a lot more, but the stimulus should have been twice as big as it was. There should be more stimulus programs. There should be more hiring.
More hiring for what? How would Barack Obama increase hiring?
Infrastructure, for one thing.
He would do what?
Well,
you don't like roads.
Highways, bridges.
I don't know a road yet that you've approved. I don't know yet of
what? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the Highway 12 here in Madison.
Against the bad ones.
There you go. Okay, all right. I understand. I got it.
But
we'll talk about that at BobFest.
All right. Yeah.
When is that again?
September 15th.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you'd like to comment on the news of the week or if you'd like to bring up a topic that you would like to hear Ed and David discuss. There are some other economic stories in the news this week, including Congress agreeing to a stopgap spending pact. What grade do you give this, David Blaska?
Incomplete.
Why?
I don't know, because I don't know anything about it. BobFest. When's the BobFest? First time I heard of it.
All right, Ed. Is this a big deal or not? We're not going to shut down. We're not going to shut down the government.
Yeah, thank goodness we're not going to go through that again. At least not now. So I think you have to give an A.
And I certainly remember the last one, and the nation certainly was brought to its knees. You know, the lights didn't go off. This is in India, folks. I'm still going back, though. I mean. Maybe we should start iron mining in Iron County. Is that would that make jobs for you? I mean, that's
it would make jobs, but we don't want those jobs.
We don't want those jobs. No, we don't want those jobs. How about getting sand out of the hills?
No,
no, no sand. Okay, don't dig sand.
Well, let's talk about those gas prices. 30 cents a gallon hike in just Madison last weekend. Lots of different reasons, but one of the reasons is the oil spill in Wisconsin, and the feds apparently saying you can't reopen that pipe until we make sure everything's okay. Ed, your thoughts on that oil spill in Wisconsin as it's related to gas prices?
Well, we've been talking about the dangers of the pipelines for a long time, and when something like this happens, now they've set up a desk apparently for people to come in and say if you've lost some money as a result of the spill, we can reimburse you and so on. I think all these different questions come into one. If you look at the price of gasoline, I mean, one of the problems we have is that we have such a concentration of power within the gas and oil industry that they can fix prices any way they want to, and they do. So I think that's a problem. They ought to be thinking about breaking up the oil companies because they are just robbing the American people. When it comes to the pipelines, this should say something about that pipeline that would go from Canada to Mexico through the United States, the XL pipeline, and hopefully they'll continue to sit on that until there's a much more important study completed.
Yeah, and environmentalists are pointing to the spill in Wisconsin, saying that the Keystone pipeline ought to be looked at a little closer.
It would be great if, in addition to Bill McKibben, you'd have somebody.
We have Jill Stein.
From industry there at your BobFest. When is that again, Ed?
The 15th of September with Phil Donahue, Norman Solomon, Bill McKibben.
You're against oil pipelines. You're against high power transmission lines. You know, you talk about infrastructure that you want Barack Obama to build, but I don't know what it would look like. No mining. You know, we should ban automobiles until they stop having accidents on the highway here, too. Yes, oil could spill from a pipeline. It could happen. It has happened. It will happen. There'll be spills. There'll be accidents. Part of life. Part of it, maybe, you know, it goes back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Gethsemane. It does. But people got to live, and people got to have work. And we can't be selling each other memberships in the Sierra Club. That's not an economy. You know, eventually it comes from the earth. Farmers dig into the soil. Now, they try to do it in an environmental way, but they're still disturbing the earth.
Did you say that Adam and Eve were at Gethsemane?
Did I say that? I did. I think I did.
I did. So much for your religious...
Well, let's move on to
incomplete.
The new health insurance plans must cover 8 preventive health benefits for women for free under the Affordable Care Act. This provision kicked in this week, including a contraception. Good news, Ed, or what?
Well, it's good news, and I think as women look at the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, men as well, but women who have really a lot at stake for this to be to go forward because it's for screening for cancer, screening for other, you know, problems. So I think it's a major step forward, and I think it's going to cool the jets for those who are saying that the presidential race will be about getting rid of Obamacare. They're not going to be able to get away with it. There is the largest gap between men and women, I think, ever right now, and it's going to get wider and wider as you have this war on women continuing.
Mm-hmm. Bad news or what, David?
Well, did you say it was free?
Well, it's covered by insurance.
Okay, then it's not free. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say? All right, so yeah. You don't. What about the political implications of it?
Well, it's not free. It's Obamacare, health care, it elected a Republican Congress. It's going to House of Representatives. It's going to elect a Republican Senate. I mean, we're going to have a Republican in Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. Ed, you disagree?
We have one, Ron Johnson.
Right. We'll have two now. For the first time, actually, since 1957, when our good friend died prematurely, Joe McCarthy.
Our good friend.
I just wanted to see your look on your face.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
This week a poll came out that shows the partisan gap over same-sex marriage continues to widen, with 65% of Democrats now supporting it compared to 24% of Republicans. And this poll came out a day after the Democratic Party says it plans to make gay marriage a part of the party's platform at the convention next month. So, Ed Garvey, is this the right thing to do?
Absolutely. I mean, it's about time that we stopped, suggesting that people who are in favor of same-sex marriage are somehow odd or different or out of the mainstream. So I think the Democratic Party, by saying that this will be part of the platform, is making a major step forward. The Republicans probably will respond by saying, absolutely not. Let's do what we can to stop any kind of rights for gay Americans. But it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. But I applaud the Democrats for doing this.
What will the Republicans say about this, you think, David?
Well, it's inaccurate, Ed, I think, and you may have made the equivalent of my Gethsemane mistake, to say that Republicans are opposed to any rights at all for gay people. I think, you know, we've had a pretty fair record of saying that we don't want discrimination for gay people. But all I can say is they're going to have to close down the Chick-fil-A restaurants in, Charlotte, where they're having the Democratic convention. I think North Carolina is one of those marriage is what marriage has always been, states, between a man and a woman. I mean, for thousands of years and in every culture. So that's where I come from as a traditionalist. I think there's something to that. But I certainly have no problem with insurance benefits and whatnot for committed couples.
So did you go to Racine yesterday for support to Chick-fil-A Day?
You know, I looked on the internet to see if there's any locally, and it's the only one in Wisconsin, in Racine. So, no, I didn't go there, but I would have had to stand in line, judging by the photographs.
Yeah, I don't know how many people showed up, but this was the the conservative countering of a of criticism of Chick-fil-A for the president of Chick-fil-A making some comments in support of traditional marriage and donating money to groups that oppose same-sex marriage.
We counter the liberals' boycotts with boycotts, and you know we basically the same thing happened with one of the Wisconsin-based companies that are dealing with convenience stores. I don't need to mention on the air here, but people went to those convenience stores and filled up their tanks with gasoline and bought Hojos and things like that.
Well, what do you make of this Chick-fil-A boycott stuff, Ed?
Well, you know, one of the problems I think all of us have as progressives, how do you
many, by the way, but go ahead.
How do you affect public policy? It can be done by a strike, which is unlikely. It can be done by boycotting. It can be done by advertising. But it's hard to say that people should be suppressed in terms of the attitudes that they want to put forward in a business. Then let the customers also respond.
Well, today
I was not in Racine, but
today gay rights supporters are. What are they doing? It's going to be National Same-Sex Kiss Day, and I'm not sure if that has if they're going to be doing that at Chick-fil-A.
I don't know. I'm going to stay out of this one.
When is Bob Fest again?
How big of an issue is the same-sex marriage, gay rights issues? How big of an issue is this going to be in our political races, especially presidential race, Ed?
I don't think it'll be very much. If you go back just 10 years, it would have been a big issue. I mean, it's amazing. I can't think of any issue where the attitude of the American people has shifted so dramatically as this one in recent times.
Oh, can I just, there's two where attitudes have shifted. Gun control, not a debate anymore, and Obamacare, opposed. Huge shift in public opinion.
Well, maybe. I don't think so. But certainly when it comes to gay rights, there has been a dramatic change in terms of the attitudes of the American people. I mean, it was interesting. We had Ted Olson was one of the people who took on this issue in the courts, and I applaud him for that. David Boies I think David Boies presented the case. I can't remember, but Olson and Boies did a remarkably good job. And I think that people have now figured out that, look, if people are happy and they want to live together, so be it. What
Agreed.
Difference does it make to me if somebody else is a same-sex marriage?
Do you have anything to add on the issue of gay rights in the presidential election?
No, I don't think it'll be a big issue. But every time they've had a state referendum, including Wisconsin, the issue has failed. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our Week in Review quiz, and we have a number of other issues to discuss, including a lot more in state politics, including State Senator Tim Cullen coming back to the Democratic caucus and what he's doing on mining and more. I'm Joy Cardine talking with David Blaska and Ed Garvey. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. That's a promotional video for the Wisconsin State Fair. The 2012 Wisconsin State Fair opened yesterday. It's showcasing many new and interesting foods, as usual. One of the delicacies this year is a peanut butter cup wrapped in bacon, dipped in banana batter, and deep fried. In today's Week in Review question, what is the name of this creative new treat? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers, and you will have the opportunity to win a book of your choice that was featured on the program recently. Maybe you'll go for the book we talked about in our last hour, Shake, Stir, Pour, fresh, homegrown cocktails. Anyway, what is the name of the treat that is debuting at the Wisconsin State Fair that includes a peanut butter cup wrapped in bacon, dipped in banana batter, and deep fried? What is the name of this treat at the Wisconsin State Fair? We'll release the winner and the answer coming up at the end of the program. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine talking with David Blaska and Ed Garvey. And let's talk about state politics and State Senator Tim Cullen and Senate Majority Leader Mark Miller patching up their differences. And Tim Cullen, who last week said he might become an independent, that he's leaving the Democratic caucus, came back to the Democrats. Ed Garvey, your thoughts on this?
Well, I thought it was absurd for Cullen to take that position in the first instance, and the fact that he's back doesn't make much of a difference. I think what it does is it points out how fragile the majority is for the Democrats in the state Senate, and I think Mark Miller handled it about as well as he could possibly handle it. So I don't think much will come of it, but it does give the right of any one state senator who's a Democrat to force policy changes on the legislature because that majority is so tender.
What are your thoughts,
David?
Well,
it's a sort of inside baseball, but Mark Miller may have recovered, but he didn't handle it well. I mean, he should have known as well as anyone that he had a one-vote majority in what essentially is a rump session of the legislature. They're not going to meet.
That's the problem. They're not even going to meet.
Yeah, that's right. And so given that, why make angry one of your senators needlessly and pointlessly? Give him what he wanted and make everybody happy, and you look good. So this, and also it also betrays, I think, the fact that moderates are not welcome in the Senate caucus.
I think what it means is that we should have a part-time legislature. They have too much idle time on their hands. And speaking of religion, my fifth-grade nun said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Right.
And I think this is the problem with the state legislature, is they don't have enough to do. And so they sit around and come up with ideas like this from lobbyists and others who are contributing to their campaigns. And it just seems to me that the whole thing pointed out the silliness of that one-vote majority.
Yeah. What are the chances Democrats will keep their majority after November, Ed?
Well, I think it's very...
When is Bobfest?
Well, September 15th, and Dr. Jill Stein, the Green candidate for president, will be here, as well as Phil Donahue. But thank you very much, David. I think that the odds are against the Democrats because of the way the gerrymandering took place for these races. So it'll be a surprise to me if the Democrats retain that majority position.
I think Ed is correct. 10 of the 16 Senate seats are now held by Democrats. One of them, Jim Holperin, who amazingly survived two recall attempts in his Northeast Wisconsin Senate district, is not seeking reelection.
Yeah.
That district has probably been drawn marginally more Republican. Actually, as it existed, was nominally Republican, but he, through force of personality and whatnot, he was able to get elected. And we are going to see Republican majority return to the Senate. The number was something like $183 million went into some of these the recalls that we had this year, $18 million in taxpayer funds to have these elections, and it would all have been for naught. But there you go.
When I saw that the Democrats spent $50 million in the recalls, I wrote a letter to Mike Tatum, just said, where'd you spend the money?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
$50 million in the state of Wisconsin, I think you can buy a number of small cities for that.
How does Mike Tate survive? And will he, given the fact that he's not, I mean, he doesn't have much to show for his tenure, and his spokesperson, now I'm going up on his name, is a disgrace. And he's been on this show.
Graham.
Yeah, Graham Zelensky.
He hasn't been on the Week in Review, but he's been a guest.
He puts on the worst face and voice for the party as being shrill, petty. You're a Democrat. You've spoken and written out about that, and here's a chance for you to say, we're not going to recover as a party unless we change our tune.
I think that's right, because the Democratic Party should be the model of transparency, and it's not. I mean, the fact I think $50 million is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And if you lose, yeah. It's even more. It seems like a lot
right,
more money.
You're right.
And so when you think of the amount of money that the Republicans spent, which is absurd,
At least they're getting a return, though. See, that's interesting. And I would agree with you if the shoe is on the other foot. We've made some poor investments. Do we keep the investment manager, or do we fire the bullpen coach?
Yeah, at least you ought to bring him in for a discussion.
I wanted to ask you both very quickly to react to the Democrats when they did take the majority in the state Senate, were able to look at the redistricting plans that had been in control of the Republicans when they were the majority. Any jaw droppers there, Ed, with what they got?
Well, I think the fact is that they've been forced to come up and release the information, so at least that's going to be somewhat helpful. It probably should advance the argument that we need to have an independent body doing the redistricting every 10 years as opposed to making this a partisan battle. It's probably not going to happen, but I think that it should happen. There should be a desire, as we have in Iowa, to have close races as opposed to sure things. I mean, when the Republicans and the Democratic leaderships get together, they say, well, all right, these 50 seats are going to be safe for the Republicans, right, right. And these 49 seats right. are going to be safe for the Democrats. And the three seats that are still open, let the best person win.
Well, this is true. And for instance, John Lehman, who won the recall against Van Wongard on June 5th in Racine County, that district, right now, that district is essentially Racine County. In 2 years, you're going to put Racine and Kenosha together, and you're going to have the rest of those two counties, Racine and Kenosha counties, be its own Senate district. That's the conservative territory. So you're going to get one Republican out of there instead of two Democrats. So that's what redistricting did. But, you know, Ed, and I think you agree with this, Jim Doyle and the Democrats ran the show for 4 years and could have done what you said, could have had a commission or whatever, redistrict, and they didn't.
Right.
And in fact, now it's coming out that Scott Fitzgerald is saying, all right, Mark Miller, now I want to see your attorneys. You had your own Democratic law firm drawing up maps and whatnot before we got into power in 2011. Let's see that. So he's put that out there. So I don't know.
It's the same thing with campaign finance reform. I mean, the Democrats had their chance.
And they had a chance for concealed carry.
That's why we're happy.
But they didn't do anything, and so now they don't like the law that we have.
And that's why we're happy to have Buddy Romer coming to Fighting Bob Fest.
back to Tim Cullen and his one of his new committee assignments was to chair the Senate Select Committee on Mining, which has been revived since the Democrats took back control of the Senate. The Dems say they want to have a new iron ore bill proposed by the end of this year. So, Ed Garvey, maybe this iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin isn't a dead issue?
Well, it's not dead, and I think what we have to do is have more and more public hearings, bring people together. The tribes have been expressing their position. I think the parties are going to have to as well. I mean, we have to sort of make a decision. Is Wisconsin just going to become a wasteland for corporations that come in here and take all of our minerals and water and so on and so forth? Yeah. Or are we going to protect our environment as we should, as we have for decades?
But WMC says, that the mining association should not really even talk to the Democrats because they need to just wait until the Republicans have majority again, David.
Well, I think so, because there was not a single Democrat that voted for the mining bill. I'm curious, and Ed, you don't have to answer this. You can tell me about when Bob Fest is going to be on. But is there any iron mine that you could foresee happening in Wisconsin at all?
It's possible, but
not likely.
It's not likely because what you have is a Florida corporation that won't even come into Wisconsin.
You know what? And we're so happy that Chrysler pulled out of Kenosha. And we're so happy that General Motors, based in Detroit, pulled out of Janesville. These out-of-state corporations have got to go. Go back home where you are.
I think you're too extreme.
Wisconsin. Get out of Wisconsin. That's Graham Zielinski, by the way. Get out of Wisconsin. Get out of Wisconsin.
Time to reveal the answer to our compelling Week in Review quiz question. What is the new delicacy this year at the Wisconsin State Fair, wrapped in bacon, dipped in banana batter, and deep-fried? Well, Bill in Milwaukee got the answer correct. It's called the Fat Elvis. Mm. The Fat Elvis on a stick, to be more precise. precise. The delicacy was named because Elvis famously loved bananas and peanut butter. I'm not sure about the bacon part of that, though.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to get a fat Elvis on a stick at the Lakefront Brew and Pub Eatery at the Wisconsin State Fair, which is going on.
How much do they cost?
I don't know. But anyway, it's the fair is going on in West Allis until August 12th. Here's what you might be interested in, Ed. You can get a beer float. Beer floats are made from craft or import beer and ice cream.
That sounds better.
What is going on?
See what happens when the Republicans get the governorship?
Yeah.
Well, that's maybe you want the sweet potato fries with marshmallow dipping cream, David?
I'm reaching for my mailbox right now.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Tourism Director. Kathy, was her name Stephanie Collette?
You're not gonna go to the state fair then?
Well,
year.
I'm gonna be in Sonoma.
Oh, that's right. You're
lowering
going
the levels of the VATs.
And
there.
That sounds fun. Good trip, and you're going to be preparing for BobFest.
Yes, indeed.
On when?
September 15th.
All right.
Bill McKibben.
Ed and David, thank you so much for being with
thank
us.
Thank you,
Jerry. A lot of fun.
Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com, and David Blaska. He is the author of Blaska's Bring It blog. Thanks to both of them for being our guests. Thanks to Bill Martin and Danaya Mukherjee for production, and thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.